So, of course, as you know, we always go out to the lobby after the show and we talk to the audience and sign autographs and shamelessly hawk our merchandise. And I think the favorite comment we receive at the table is always after a matinee performance or an evening performance where the audience just sits there stone-faced. And then they come out to the lobby afterwards and say, I have never laughed so hard. And I always want to say, well, you should tell your face. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 419, Choice Table Comments. What are some of the fantastic comments that we've heard at the table?
I was upbraided in Albany, New York by a lady for talking too fast. I was the worst one.
Oh my God.
You know, as far as fast talking goes, and oh my gosh, the shame.
But that's true.
I said, thank you for coming to see the show, and I left.
Yeah. Did you say, thank you for coming to see the show?
It was more. It was kind of like that. I mean, it was after the table, so I was not obliged to do anything.
But we get that a lot, and you guys move so fast, I can't hear every joke. And we always say, well, we slow down for the good jokes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
For the fast ones, we keep moving.
A lot of the material, there's no need to dawdle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a weird one last week. This woman came up and stopped and said, "Boy, I really liked the second act." And I said, you didn't care for the first act? No. And I said, well, thank you for stopping to tell me that. That was really thoughtful.
Yeah. I always worry about that. I always worry about that, too. Like, I remember telling Phil Proctor, the Firesign Theater, that Giant Rat of Sumatra was my favorite. And I feel like, oh, what an asshole. What a jerk. I didn't need to tell him that. They're all great. But I was talking to Chris Moore, the author of Lamb and Fool and whatnot. And he said, well, you know, one of the books, one of the plays, one of the albums, one of the acts has to be your favorite, I guess.
But there's a distinction between, what?
Yeah.
You have a favorite play.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't like the other ones.
No.
There's a distinction between,
no.
I like the second act, in other words, I didn't like the first act, as opposed to History of America is my favorite. All your stuff is great, but
for some reason, this tickles me.
That tickles me.
Well, particularly with this show, I'm finding. It seems to be this show. Comedy, the history of comedy, comedy itself is such a subjective topic. You know, and people like these kinds of jokes, they don't like those kinds of jokes. And we play on that tension of, well, we know you're not gonna like this, but that's part of the fun of us telling it, is knowing that you're not gonna care for it. But so people will come up at the table and they'll say, oh God, it was great, but this moment was inspired. Mm-hmm. And that moment changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll always point to one moment. And I'm getting at the Supreme Court scene a lot, mm-hmm. that's inspired, and or the helium business.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Lincoln. But Abe Lincoln seems divisive as well, because I hear some people going, oh, that was the best thing ever. And then I hear some people, well, I didn't care for that. It was like, all right, did you guys all see the same bit?
What I always hear at the table after this show is the people come up to Austin and say, did anybody ever tell you you remind them of Robert Preston?
Yes.
And I think it's the speech at the beginning of the second act, isn't it?
And the singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody's ever told me that since the last performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot, which, listen, as far as I'm concerned, that's a fantastic copy.
The other thing they always say to Dominic, because I'm often standing next to Dominic, is, man, you throw yourself around with abandon.
They do tell you that.
And they want to check you for bruises.
Right, with the aching bones and muscles, I'm well aware. But there, I mean, I like when people don't tell me to be careful, because it's useless and you can't be careful.
Right,
but like,
yeah.
If they say you throw yourself around, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind hearing that over and over again.
Yeah.
They're stating the truth.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's like, you know, sometimes you read, you and I go back and forth about, on a slow audience, do we pick up? Do we slow down? Do we pick up, slow down? I always feel like you got to give the audience permission to laugh, or they won't laugh at all, ever. But I think sometimes this, when we go out to the table, that is also our chance to give the audience permission to respond. to react, to have to express their opinions, positive or negative. We haven't had anybody walk out of the show go, "You go to hell," and nobody said that.
Well, we did,
well,
sort of.
That's true.
We had on the first preview here, a guy came in quite late, and so we went into our bit about latecomers, and he wouldn't. You know, where were you? He wouldn't answer. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Austin, I'm Dom, I read, what's your name? He wouldn't answer.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even going that long. Maybe it was 45 seconds. And he just stood up and walked out.
Walked out.
And we found out afterwards, our lovely house manager, he told her to tell us to go F ourselves.
And we did.
What a gentleman. I mean, you don't know what kind of day that's having, but still.
Yeah.
But still. Do you tell pretty blonde Courtney, tell the boys go F themselves?
Well, it's fair enough. If we're going to pick on him, he can do whatever he wants. I remember.
That's absolutely true. If we pick on him, they can absolutely feel free to pick on us. But stand and pick on us. Don't yell at her to pick on us. That's really kind of posy.
Yeah. And he was there with three of his brothers, and two of the brothers thought this was hilarious, and then one of the other brothers sided with him. It sounds like a whole sitcom. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I remember when we first decided to go out to the audience, just sort of a sinking feeling like, wow, what are people going to say?
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's very pleasant. And always, you know, after quiet audiences in the lobby, they're always effusive, you know. And so there was nothing to be worried about. Yeah. At the America show, once in a while, people come up to us and go, you know, it would be funny is if you picked on the Democrats. And our feeling is, that might be funny. You should write that show.
Yeah.
You know, we have to write what's funny to us.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Somebody in Queens said this about the comedy show.
He was furious that in the comedy show, we didn't make fun of Obama.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's the history of comedy. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be required to make fun of the president. We didn't actually make fun of George W. Bush either.
That's right. And what was his point was...
Well, I think he thought we were too... liberal. I think in this show, the comedy show, we probably are more equally spreading out the digs to Republicans and Democrats than any show. I mean, we happen to be Democrats, but we certainly, Joe Biden is up there, Anthony Weiner's up there. I make a dig at Kennedy and Clinton, I think, you know, so, but he just didn't like our politics.
Well, and also he was, when I challenged him on it, and this was in Queens, New York too, because when I get in New York, it's just like, oh, bring it. I'll get all that. Yeah.
Well, and a conservative in New York City, they probably feel on the defensive anyway, right?
Well, and he said, he's the worst president ever. Well, comedy's about truth. Now, that's a perception, but I don't think it's rooted in truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen any respectable thing that said he's the worst president on sort of any level. You know, there's a lot to pick at him about, that he's nowhere near as progressive as we want him to be, that he sanctions just as much droning and bank support and Wall Street as his Republican predecessors. But
it's
the worst...
It's hard to call him the worst.
It's hard to call him the worst. And so you can't... The premise has failed to begin with, you know. Yeah. So good. But I did say, go write your own show in my best New York accent.
And then he went to the house manager and told her to tell.
Yeah.
us to, no. And
we should tell the house manager. Would you just tell the audience to f themselves?
Yeah. In the
thank you for saying f. By the way, it saves me having to bleep it later.
Yes. When we do the Bible show, a question we commonly get is, "Well, you don't ever do this in the Deep South, do you?"
Yeah.
Well, actually, we do. I think people self-select. If you're seeing it's a comedy about the Bible and you're sensitive about it, you probably just don't go see the show. Yeah. And we always say, no, we toured all over America. We toured all over the... Actually, the stink has been in the UK, but that's well documented.
Hey, I'm Eric Stonestreet from ABC's Modern Family, and you are listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You have only 8 more chances to see us perform live in 2014. This is our final week performing the complete history of Comedy Abridged at the Marin Theater Company in Mill Valley, California. But starting next month, in January 2015, you will have 5 months to see us perform the complete history of Comedy Abridged. We'll be in 70 cities across the UK and Ireland, plus there will be assorted dates in the US. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. You know what I'm finding that people people come up afterwards and they want to be the one to tell me that they got the joke that nobody else got. Mm-hmm. I get this a lot. Like the Groucho and Chico and Harpo and Zeppo and Karl Marx,
yeah.
Which not everybody gets, or maybe everybody gets, but only a few people laugh at. Right. But anyway, there's certainly some people who get, yeah, I got it. I got Karl.
You do a bit in this show. How many of you are on Twitter? That's what I thought. You don't give them a chance to raise their. Does anybody come up to you and go, I'm on Twitter?
Every now and then I get one person hand. And yes, I do get somebody on Twitter, but it rather than waiting for the answer, you know, it got to be, we didn't even want to wait for the answer anymore. Because yeah. Even today, I know there were two people who got their hands up slowly, and I can't be bothered. If you're not going to be boom, 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 boom. And I will say that, I don't know if this is, well, we've been talking about this. Our Marin, how different are Marin audiences? They do seem not like they've seen a lot of vaudeville before. They don't seem highly participatory.
Well, and I don't know if it's, I know this Marin Theater Company does very good, very serious
stuff.
Work.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we think of ourselves, we do work seriously, but it's not serious work.
Well, we do our funny work seriously.
Yeah.
There was actually, but I will say, there was a woman came up today and said, at the matinee, and she said, oh, I grew up in the Catskills, and you got them all.
Well, I got this guy last night. He was wearing a Boston Red Sox hat, and he said, this, and he seemed like amazed. He goes, this is like vaudeville.
Yeah.
He goes, he's older than us, but you know, not super old. But did you see vaudeville? I said no. Yeah. I said I've seen documentaries, and he said, "Well, I grew up in Boston. I guess it was burlesque. You know,
yeah.
I'll never forget. You know, Fanny Farmer. But right. You know, but I
love her chocolates.
Yeah, yeah. I said, how could you? But he said, but you'd see all the stand-ups. You know, Phil Silvers and Abbott and Costello. And he said, and I used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. And I go, oh, I used to watch. So I guess I did see vaudeville and Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin. A lot of those guys had the old vaudeville performers.
You know, every now and then. I think there are people who walk right past us, you know, and they don't say anything, and you go, well, okay, that's not them, that's not for them. Now we got this review in the Huffington Post. She didn't say this at the table, but she said it online. She loved the show, and she said it put a big smile on her face, but she admitted it. That's kind of the top of her review. Now there are some people who don't like comedy as an evening's entertainment, and I count myself as one of those people. What?
One joke at a time.
Yeah.
That's all I'm prepared to take.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, not for an entire evening. But I just saw it. Well, then that's a rave we got from that lady.
No, definitely. Probably not the kind of person I want to hang out with. But admire her forthrightness.
Yeah.
You know, some people are very serious and they don't cop to it. And then, well, I didn't like the show, you know. Sometimes people say, oh, I saw every, you know, these people who don't like it, I saw every joke coming. Really?
Yeah.
You saw a scene about helium coming?
Yeah. In the Middle East?
Yeah. Yeah. Chekhov is a sitcom. I totally saw that coming. Really?
Where? Before we started the show? 5 minutes in?
Those things. 30
seconds after we started the scene? When exactly did you?
But sometimes you get an audience full of quiet or grumpy people, and I love these people. They'll come out to the table and they go, I'm so sorry for this audience. I was the one cracking up. You know?
I saw you the entire time, and you had this look on your face. Well, and I think I've said this before too. Every now and then we'll get a critic who will say, "Well, it's based on an old manuscript they found by Achu, which is the level of wit that we're talking about here." Well, it's a level of wit.
Well, it's vaudeville. Yeah. And we say this again and again. It's smart, it's stupid, it's intellectual, it's scatological, it's physical, it's verbal. Yes, that is one of the jokes we make in the show.
Yeah.
And that's about what you can say about it.
Yeah, and if maybe that's the only level of wit you caught, well, then you've admitted something to yourself that maybe you'd prefer not to admit next time.
Yeah, somebody came up.
And interestingly, none of the critics here in Marin have talked about our scene about critics. You know, which is where we talk. Critics are the funniest of all, and then we make up these reviews. And we make up these reviews of the Dead Parrot sketch from Monty Python. What's yours?
Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah, Springtime for Hitler. Yeah. And then Who's on First by Abbott and Costello. But we put into the mouths of these critics all the things that have been said about us.
Right. Yes. But likable and talented performers settled with subpar material.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Another thing, sometimes people come up and say, now only two of your shows are on DVD. You know, I have those two. Why aren't you making more? Is a question we get infrequently. I said to somebody, as soon as those sell enough to make our money back, we'll make another one. I said, we're just not famous enough to move enough merchandise to afford to make another DVD.
Somebody was asking me about that. How's your merch sale? You know, Penn and Teller out there. And I said, I just don't think people come to our shows with enough disposable income in hand. You know, we just don't sell that much merch.
Well, it varies a lot from venue to venue. Right. You know, so when we go to a commercial venue as opposed to a nonprofit venue, people are expecting, you know, often that we'll buy a soundtrack or we'll buy, if it's
you a mean like the Kennedy Center or versus
a venue that is used to booking in shows, maybe big musicals or touring shows. Well, people often go to that saying, oh, I'm going to buy a souvenir program and I'm going to buy a t-shirt the soundtrack. And those places we sell a lot of merchandise. But you go to these nonprofit theaters, they're not used to having that sort of thing in the lobby, and people just don't buy it.
I think that's absolutely right. And Penn and Teller play those big commercial venues, which would explain why people come with that expectation.
Well, and they're a lot more famous than we are, too.
No, I think it's your first thing.
Oh, sorry, my mistake.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I realize I didn't mention another favorite comment we frequently get, which is when people come up to us at the table and say to us in a completely shocked and surprised voice, I really liked that. Send us your shocked and surprised comments via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Comments are now closed, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Keith Kitto. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Fizbo the Clown himself, Emmy-winning actor Eric Stone Street, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 119 1257ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I got a lovely comment at the table this afternoon. An old friend from high school gave me a hug after the show, and she said, God, you smell great. I said, it's the Barbasol shaving cream from the pie that I get hit with at the end of the show. She said, oh, okay. It still works. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.